Big fella, hello through and welcome everyone talk lo Melanesia update. Me Koroi Hawkins, lo program today by me look lo sample of the big fella stories around the region and behind by me go lo team lo Buzz FM lo Vanuatu. RNZ Pacific News lo pigeon me Koroi Hawkins. General Manager of lo New Dawn FM radio station, hemi said tensions lo Kono constituency lo South Bougainville, hemi one fella legacy lo civil war. Last month, out businesses, including local radio station, out been bonem, time out factions, blow militants, out been clash, lo town, lo buin, lo autonomous Papua New Guinea region, ya. New Dawn General Manager, Aloysius Laukai, hemise clashes, hemi been continue intermittently after rest, lo Bougainville, out been signing Finnish peace agreement, lo 2001. Hemi say since referendum, lo 2019, fighting, hemi been living up to 200 people had been displaced and stamp lot care centers around lo buin. Vanuatu Teachers Union, hemi say overcrowding lo schools, hemi need for hemi addressed promptly. Comments hemi come behind concerns when hemi raised by Teachers Union. Union hemi claim several classrooms, otta might garam as many as 50 students. Vanuatu Education Ministry Head, Bergmans Lati, and we tell them local media, each school ought need for tackling issue, lo this one, Seleva. And we say also use him to school fees or government grants for building more classrooms. China, and we been sending one for a team, lo police, go lo Pacific Islands Nation, lo Tonga, ahead lo Pacific Islands Forum Leaders Summit, we're about hosting later, lo this year. New Zealand Defence Minister hemi been meet with him top United States military contractor for talk about him Pillar 2, blow this fella AUKUS Security Pact, blow Australia, Great Britain with him United States. Officials had been tell him Judith Collins, where hemi Defence Minister blow New Zealand, that Honeywell, where hemi hold him billions of dollars law US defence contracts, hemi like for invest for grow inside law Pacific region. Still on New Zealand commercial rock lobster fishes, lo te tai rafiti, ota voluntarily reducing catch blockata for helping one for local fishery, where hemi go at lo long recovery from ot cyclones hail with him Gabriel. Lo bid for let him fishery him recover, government ot been reducing catch limits by 20%, but local industry ota been go further and not agree for 30% reduction. EB Collective Partnership Chief Executive Ken Aukamau, hemi say fishers about taking big fella financial hit, but ota garam understanding lo what not need for doing. The world news, space scientists ota been revealing biggest ever 3D map blow universe, ota been measure how fast na hemi expand over billions of years using most precise measurements kasim this time. Aim for measure effects blow dark energy, hemi one for that mysterious force we have to believe, hemi make him universe, hemi go ahead for expand faster. Scientists also have been able for measure expansion history, where hemi go over 11 billion years, with him better than 1% precision. Lo sport former All Black and Manu Samoa fly half, Lima Sopoanga, hemi been slamming decision blow Samoa Rugby Union for ending tenure blow Vavasa Manaya Selala Mapusua, osem head coach. Vavasa Manaya hemi been appointed coach lo Manu Samoa lo 2020, hemi directing preparations blow team for 2023 Rugby World Cup. Sopoanga hemi talem New Zealand Herald staka Manu Samoa players or disappointed with him decision blow Union. Hemi call him this one one fella backward step, and hemi credit him Vavasa Manaya for convincing former All Black and Wallaby players lo someone descent for play for Motherland Bloketa. Pacifica Rugby Hall of Fame inductee Waisale Serevi hemi say Fiji men's sevens teams will play lo this weekend's Hong Kong sevens, but need for making right decisions lo critical stages lo game suppose ought like for winning this fall event. Fiji men's sevens teams ought no been winning any tournament lo last 19 events we ought to been compete inside. Serevi hemi wish him team well under the new coach Osea Kolonisau, who hemi leading team go lo first tournament where hemi in charge lo Fiji sevens. Pool matches Okata I start law today. And rainbow sporting groups from 21 fellow countries ought to been gear up for long weekend law competition and fun law Auckland. Over the next few days, we name 600 athletes from home and abroad but compete law rainbow games law Auckland. Sports semi including football, badminton with him 10 pin bowling. Stephanie Limblow, Sydney Shuttle Swingers, one for our Asian LGBTQI women's badminton team, MC at games sort for making people feel connected and accepted. What a bagwet for take place, Law Trusts Arena, Law Henderson, Law Auckland. Am now news and sports law pigeon from RNZ Pacific. And have now some for Okata top stories lo here today from RNZ Pacific. This time they may join him now, team from Buzz FM lo Vanuatu.
Vanuatu Nightly News, proudly brought to you by Digicel Vanuatu.
Internet headlines, 31 resolutions adopted at the Sandalwood Forum. A Ricky Resort management clarifies no involvement with former Jewel Casino staff. PSC urges Ministry of Health to address nurses' grievances. Vanuatu's Culinary Delights takes center stage in exciting new television series. And Public Solicitor's Office senior leader pledges to enhance legal awareness initiatives. Good evening and welcome to Vanuatu Nightly News. I'm Kizzy Kalsakau. Leading our news tonight, NOPA urges government to tighten control over sandalwood licensing to combat opportunism. In a bid to safeguard the integrity of Vanuatu's sandalwood industry, local licensee Jonathan NOPA has called upon the government to enact stricter measures to regulate the issuance of sandalwood licenses and curb opportunistic practices.
As I'd like to see tighter controls on who gets a sandalwood license. There have to be strict conditions so that we weed out the opportunists from the genuine people. The second thing I want to see is a plan that has us walking towards more value adding. So the more you value add in Vanuatu, the more jobs you create. Farmers will be able to see that something is being done with their wood. They don't know what happens with their wood at the moment. And then hopefully we can push prices up slowly, create through creating a brand.
NOPA expressing concern over the authenticity of sandalwood licenses emphasized that only a handful of 12 registered licenses sanctioned by the Department of Forestry are genuinely committed to the industry's sustainability.
Because most of the licenses in Vanuatu, out of the 12 licenses, I'd say that perhaps only two or three are trying to survive on their own. The rest are just puppets for other local Chinese businesses. There are people who are here like Johan Nortier, who's trying to help us walk down that value-adding path. And so there's relationships to be forged. It's an exciting time for sandalwood because at the moment you've seen a plummeting price. It's going to get worse because Quintis has just gone into receivership yesterday. So we've got a lot of things to battle against, but we've got a very good location to plant sandalwood and a very good quality of sandalwood, but the world doesn't know it. So through value adding, we can brand our sandalwood and teach the world that we've got good sandalwood.
He lamented the influx of individuals exploiting local stakeholders and manipulating prices to their advantage. NOPA drawing on his extensive experience in the industry spanning over two decades, emphasized the necessity of imposing higher levies on the export of raw sandalwood materials to enhance revenue streams and promote sustainable practices.
And we have to increase the levies on anything that's exported raw. We have to work towards pushing value adding so that we can enter the global ranking. Like you asked me a question, where do you see Vanuatu on the ladder? We're very low, but we know we can go up. But we can't go up unless we get our quality sorted out, our government legislation sorted out, support from the government for those that are genuinely involved with making sandalwood oil. And then, you know, because a few people need help, you know.
According to NOPA, establishing robust bilateral agreements with nations like China and India is imperative to counter such exploitative tactics. He urged the government to foster closer ties with key trading partners to prevent market distortions and protect the interests of local stakeholders.
The government's basically, I think, going to play a monitoring role. They can monitor our quality and they can set the rules for the industry going forward. And I think that that should now start to lean towards value adding because we've been trading sandalwood for a couple of hundred years. More recently, it's been formalised. Last year, we saw the very first, in my 24 years in the industry, I saw the very first amendments from the government in a positive light. They started introducing criteria to licensees. this needs to be continued. We need to make it so that we don't have puppets.
Moreover, NOPA advocated for the government to pivot towards the value-adding initiatives within the sandalwood trade, citing the industry's historical significance and recent formalisation efforts. He underscored the need for continued government oversight and enforcement of licensing criteria to thwart unscrupulous practices and ensure the industry's long-term viability.
Yeah, traditionally most of the sandalwood has come from the Southern Islands in Tafea, and traditionally most of it has been exported to China and India. When we were running a distillery, we were looking at India, and stage two on that was the European perfumeries, the perfume houses there. But it's still pretty much the same now, except more people have planted. I think from our initial involvement in the industry 20 years ago, there was a boom in people planting. The prices were up. Now prices are one-third of what they were.
The Department of Forestry oversees the regulation and management of the sandalwood trade through a comprehensive licensing system, which includes revenue generation mechanisms and harvest-level regulations. Jonathan Naupa was also one of the participants in the inaugural National Sandalwood Forum held this week and ended today, which served as a platform for industry stakeholders to deliberate on critical issues and chart a collective path forward for the sandalwood sector. In related news, at the culmination of a three-day forum, stakeholders and farmers commended the outcomes as 31 resolutions were adopted at the Sandalwood Forum, signifying a significant progress in Vanuatu's sandalwood industry. The forum, convened to address key challenges and chart a path forward for the sector, so three main resolutions take center stage. These resolutions focus on an enhancing production levels, the implementation of a comprehensive sandalwood strategy, and the establishment of standardized grading practices. With the aim of bolstering sandalwood production, stakeholders underscore the importance of strategic initiatives to increase output and meet growing demand. Discussions centered on innovative approaches to cultivation, harvesting, and processing techniques. Furthermore, the adoption of a comprehensive sandalwood strategy was deemed essential to guide future development efforts and ensure sustainable growth within the industry. The strategy is expected to outline clear objectives, policies, and action plans to support the sector's long-term viability. Standardization in grading emerged as another critical area of focus, with stakeholders emphasizing the need for uniformity and quality assurance across all stages of production and distribution. Establishing clear grading standards is envisioned to enhance market competitiveness and consumer confidence in Vanuatu's sandalwood products. Following the adoption of these resolutions, participants expressed appreciation for the collaborative efforts and tangible outcomes achieved during the forum. The successful conclusion of the forum marks a significant milestone in the ongoing efforts to revitalize and strengthen Vanuatu's sandalwood industry, positioning it for a sustainable growth and prosperity in the years to come. In tourism, Andrew Dilly, the general manager of Iriki Island Resort and Spa Vanuatu, has emphasized that the resort's ownership of the Jewel Casino does not entail any association with its previous staff or financial obligations. Dilly clarifies that upon purchasing the casino facility from its previous owner, the resort's family had no dealings with former casino employees, as they were solely employed by the previous owner. Highlighting their limited involvement, Dilly mentioned that they are not privy to any outstanding financial liabilities owed by the previous owner to the casino staff. He underscored that the acquisition solely pertained to the physical facility, not the personal. The general manager's statements came in response to allegations reported by the Daily Post regarding the former owner's purported failure to settle entitlements for Jewel Casino employees. The Office of the Public Service Commission has directed the Ministry of Health executive to expedite the resolution of grievances raised by over 200 nurses at the Villa Central Hospital on Tuesday, April 2nd. This directive follows the submission of a petition by the nurses appealing to the PSC to address outstanding risk allowances for the 2021 period during the COVID-19 pandemic. The PSC has given a 7-day ultimatum for the settlement of these grievances, failing which the affected nurse will take further action. The Public Relations Officer at the Prime Minister's Office, PMO Hilaire Boulay, reiterated the government's endorsement of the Yes campaign ahead of the national referendum. Boulay underscored alignment with the decisions of members of parliament, emphasizing efforts to convey this stance to the populace. Responding to Chief Willie Casuelli of Freshwater's plea for balanced media representation, Boulay acknowledged concerns over the overwhelming presence of Yes campaign messages. Casuelli voiced unease regarding skewed media coverage, highlighting the absence of space for the No campaign. While acknowledging Casuelli's viewpoint, Boulay clarifies the government's role in disseminating the agreed-upon position while respecting individual voting choices. Despite widespread awareness favoring the Yes campaign, Casuelli stressed the need for balanced information dissemination to avoid uninformed voting decisions. Expressing dissatisfaction with a limited awareness time frame, Casuelli advocated for an extended period of public education. The No campaign, led by former MP Joshua Kalsakau, sought financial support from the government, which was denied. Additionally, they urged the Electoral Commission to postpone the national referendum for more extensive awareness efforts, but the Commission declined to respond. In other news, Uma's Kitchen, a captivating 6-part series showcasing the vibrant culinary scene of Vanuatu, was aired last night in Noumea, New Caledonia. The program was introduced to the viewers during a special launch event held in Noumea, attended by over 60 esteemed VIP partners. Mrs. Adela Isaka-Aru, Chief Executive Officer of the Vanuatu Tourism Office, VDO, expressed the office commitment to supporting the program through an extensive marketing campaign aimed at enticing more viewers in New Caledonia to watch and subsequently explore Vanuatu. Uma's Kitchen adopts a better-to-plate approach, offering an immersive culinary journey through the islands of Santo, Tana and Ifate. Filmed in some of Vanuatu's most breathtaking locations, the program collaborates with Chef Gabriello Gabi to showcase the country's diverse cuisine. And the WAND, in a significant stride towards bolstering access to justice for all citizens of Vanuatu, Ms. Jane Tari, the second highest ranking official at the Public Solicitor's Office and the first woman to attain such a senior position, has reaffirmed her dedication to expanding the office's legal awareness initiatives throughout the nation. As part of its mandate to deliver quality professional legal services to economically disadvantaged individuals, the PSC currently operates offices in 4 of Vanuatu's 6 provinces. With a commitment to the government's decentralization agenda, the office is redoubling efforts to extend its reach to underserved communities across the archipelago. Ms. Tari, echoing the ethos of the PSO, emphasizes the importance of legal literacy for all citizens. She underscores understanding the law is essential for all members of society. It empowers individuals to make informed decisions and fosters a culture of legality within the communities. Hailing from Mumbai, Ms. Tari's personal experiences with violence and injustice in rural communities have fueled her passion for increasing access to justice. Drawing on over 14 years of experience with the PSO, including a decade-long tenure managing the Santo office servicing Toba, Sanma and Pedama provinces, she remains steadfast in her mission to bridge gaps in legal services. With that, conclude our Vanuatu Nightly News, but you can still follow VNN through Buzz FM SoundCloud, Buzz FM Facebook page, our website www.buzzfm.vu, Capital FM 107 and Radio New Zealand, Melanesian Update, RNZ Pacific. I'm Kizzy Kalsakau. You have a very good night and a safe weekend ahead.
And that was the Nightly News, proudly brought to you by Digicel Vanuatu.
And have now Melanesian Update program, Nikoroi Hawkins. Thank you to Mas for tuning in. Come, Yusa Kasim Okata, up-to-date news and current affairs, lo website, blo mifala, rnzi.com, and mifala stop too, lo Facebook and lo Twitter, just search him at RNZ Pacific.